save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. I'm Conroy. Albert Breer is here. It's fantasy football season. And no, we're not drafting our fantasy football teams. But you know what got me fired up, Albert, yesterday about fantasy football season is I was on my way home and I got a text from one of my neighbors that said, "Hey, you going to the draft?" And then I got really nervous that the draft was in like an hour. And so that is like very standard mode for me for fantasy football season.
Me too.
I commit to play to like 11 of these things, and then all of a sudden the draft is in like 45 minutes, and then I have to immediately be there. And I don't know what pick I have. I don't know the scoring format of the league. Every league is drastically different. And, you know, but that's part of the fun of it, right?
And everybody assumes that you're going to be awesome at it because of
and everybody
your job.
Assumes that you're going to be very good at it. Yeah.
And like, that's just, I try to tell people, I'm like, this is legitimately the busiest time of year for me. So I am way more susceptible to forgetting to set my lineup than you are. I am way more susceptible to not realizing one of my players just, one of my players has had a bad couple of weeks than you are, because you are hyper focused on whatever the 11 guys on your team, where I got to pay attention to everything. So I think our jobs actually hurt us in certain ways, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, there's times when we're working, you know, whatever the deadline is. I mean, how many times have I been doing a radio hit and then I've realized that I didn't set my lineup?
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, you know, in my order of life importance, like, yes, would I want to hang up on K105 Dog and Fox, the zone, to put in my running backs? Yes. I mean, I would, but it's not a professional polite courtesy.
I've been on a TV set before where I've been like talking and like, it looks like I'm texting for work, right? Like, it looks like something important might be happening. And I'm actually like, oh crap. Like, I gotta switch somebody out here. So yeah, There's little tricks you learn to work around those things.
That is the ultimate insider flex. And I do think that we need, you know, there's really no way to be able to do this. But like, you know, like whatever you see, you or Schefter or Rappaport or all these guys on TV. And now they're allowed to just go like this, you know, right in the middle of the TV. They're like, this text is so important that I'm able to fire it off. But like, how do we know that's not like they're cleaning? Cleaning lady, or like, you know, how do we know that's not like, you know, their dog walker or, you know, something like that? I don't know.
I mean, they're definitely, I would say the good thing about, and a lot of times it is actually like, I'd say like the great majority of times it is work related, but there are times where it's like there's something happening at home and it's nice to have that shield of
nice
knowing.
To have the cover,
right? Like, so like no one's gonna say anything to you in that situation,
right?
So I'm handling something at home really quick. And if everybody wants to assume that it's something else, then that's really not my problem.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's where I need to make it in my career, where I can just start brazenly texting on television and they're like, you know, or during a podcast, and they're like, yeah, Connor's got something important going on. He knows what's up. I will say this.
That's, of course, assuming that, like, a linebacker signing somewhere is actually important, which in the grand scheme of things, it probably isn't. But that's another story for another day.
Well, yes, right. But the I do have a great story that I've been sworn to secrecy. I'm not allowed to fully divulge, but at some point I am. I was promised that I can do this at some point. Mm-hmm. But there is a coach who I know who did respond to a how do I put this? Highly non-important email from
highly non-important email.
Well, relatively speaking. But like probably like an hour before kickoff via email. which is not like stunning. Like an hour before kickoff, you got like you're probably in your office for a second.
No, I'd say like an hour before kickoff, like that's sort of like I think for everybody the hay's in the barn. You know what I mean? Like it's really not much you can do at that point.
So I guess that's not like
I'm not like offended by that or anything.
All right.
You know, like they're like for those guys especially, it's like, I mean, there's little stuff you're doing before the game, but that's sort of like, you know, the hay's in the barn. I'm just thinking about how I'm, if I'm one of those guys, which I've never been, so I wouldn't know, but I'm probably kind of gaming some things out in my head, and it's probably just trying to get myself mentally prepared to go win a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a long way of saying, guys, that we're not doing a fantasy football draft today, but what we are doing is we're drafting teams. And so I've created a little bit of a – Albert and I are each going to draft seven teams, okay? Mm-hmm. And you get 10 points for the Super Bowl. You get 8 points if your team makes the conference championship. Mm-hmm. You get 6 points if they make the divisional round, 3 points if they make the wild card. And what do we say, like, I don't know, like a 3 point bonus for winning the Super Bowl? You want to do that, a 3 point
yeah,
bonus?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because
I don't want to like be haphazard here and undermine the work that our analytics department did putting together that scoring system, but yeah, I mean if you want to throw that in there, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I think that you should get some points. I have always argued this, by the way. This is a controversial take and I'm curious what you think. Mostly because it would have benefited me in some way, shape, or form. I think in fantasy football, you should get an extra point if your team wins the game. What is your thought process on that? What are your thoughts?
You should just get one point. Point. You
just
mean
one
for
point.
Each player, yeah. He wins his game.
If the player wins his game, you get an extra.
I like
point.
That. Yeah, I like that.
Because that could be
like a nod for a block he threw,
yes.
You know, like a receiver threw a block on a big play for the running back that won the game. Yeah, I like that.
And then it prevents us from this world where, again, mostly because it adversely affected me, where you have someone like Breece Hall who was like RB1 for the second half of the season and is just lighting the world on fire and. The Jets aren't winning any games. And so right. I'm like, where is all this meaningless yardage going outside of his bank account, which is great, good for him. And, you know, I just think that I'm trying to collect a group of players. We're trying to do more than just win a fantasy football game. We're trying to get everybody on board here. We're trying to create a culture. I want to go 17-0 every year, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want winners on my football team. So I want, like, at the end of the day, I'm down 8 points or whatever it is. What is it? Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, kicker, defense. So whatever. I'm down 9 points. Nine of my guys win a game, and we're right back in it, you know? I like that. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's important. I've always thought about the chemistry of my locker room in fantasy, and I like to throw a wild card in there. You know, like there's got to be one guy where it just kind of keeps everybody on edge. You know, just make sure you have that one guy. I mean, maybe not your Antonio Brown, but something along those lines, where just everybody's paying attention when he comes in the locker room.
We started a neighborhood league last year, and one of my favorite additions to the neighborhood league last year, the person came to me, had not played fantasy football before, not a big background in fantasy football, and she just said, I'm going to come to you before most of my picks and just confirm that these are good human beings. Like, no.
Wow, I like that.
No shady background, nothing in their past. The person already had a list of like, okay, I'm definitely not drafting these people, and smoked it, like did really, really well. And so I'm like, you know what? There is something to this, but I want points for winning, Albert, and I want receiver yards for pass interference drawn, okay? I want that.
I like that too. That's good, yeah.
Because, again, anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
By the way, just talking about like texting while you're doing that, right? Like while you're doing
this.
Other things. I just gave myself, well, I just jotted down a little cheat sheet so I can cross off teams as we go along.
Wow. See, my most Googled.
That's what I was doing. I wasn't doing anything important. I just have like a little reporter's notebook here, all 32 with abbreviations on my notes here.
See, what I do is my most Googled thing is NFL standings. I Google NFL standings every day because then I have the entire list. And then there's also another website that does them alphabetically, which is good whenever Editor Mitch is involved, because Editor Mitch has a very clear vision on how he wants his teams listed, and it's in alphabetical order by city. So you have to play, ball with Mitch over there. But NFL standings, very clutch. Always Googling NFL standings. All right, so what we're trying to do here, guys, is we're trying to lay out 14 teams in kind of an interesting way, right? And I think that now, by doing it fantasy draft style, what we're doing is we're also laying on the line kind of that air of importance that each team has, because it's very easy for us, or I don't know, you know, let's just say some shows that are on networks that are, you know, run by the NFL, right? It's very easy for them to say that every team is going to make the playoffs, and that every team is going to win 11 games, and that every player is going to win the MVP. And then
the composite record is going to be 650, not 500.
Yes. And you know what? But we're doing it this way because here at the MMQB podcast, we like to put our fortitude on the line. We like to say, you know, this is what I believe right now. And so, with that said,
just a couple things too. Like, so me and Connor had talked about this beforehand. Again, checked it with our analytics department, and one of the rules is 7 AFC, 7 NFC. So if we get to 7 in one conference, then we have to stop drafting that conference.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also thought it would be interesting at the end. I can mark it down here in my notebook if we come up with the bracket after. And so we'll seed them. And then, you know, if there are two teams from the same division, obviously that team's seed goes, you know, the second team's a wild card. But I thought, like, if I write down in the notebook, like, here's where each of these teams were drafted, then we could look at, like, what the final bracket looks like.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So I just found out yesterday that I have the number two pick in my neighborhood fantasy league, which I'm very excited about. Big deal.
Okay.
We're keeping Jahmyr Gibbs, so we're already off to a flying start there. So I'll take the number two pick in this one as well. I will cede to you, Albert, and give you the number one overall pick in our team's fantasy draft. Who are you taking?
I mean, I would sound like an a-hole if I didn't take the Chiefs. So I'm going to take the Chiefs first overall. I really, it was interesting being there middle of last week, where it feels like there's a belief that they're going to be better this year on offense than they were last year. Now, there are some questions on defense. They lose L'Jarius Sneed. What are they going to do at corner outside of Trent McDuffie, who's an all-pro? Do they have enough pass rush outside of Chris Jones and George Karloftis? So defensively, while they've still got a good base of young talent, there are some moving pieces. But it was really interesting watching them offensively and hearing how much they're working on pushing the ball back down the field again after a couple of years they won Super Bowls in, where they had bigger, more physical receivers. So now, you know, I think the vision is, and it's sort of like, you remember like the 07 Patriots, how like the basics of it were like actually really simple, where it was like, you got Wes Welker running underneath Randy Moss, right? Like, so you have Randy Moss clearing out space and Wes Welker running around in that space. It's sort of the same thing here, with the idea being you're going to have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy on the outside creating space for Rashee Rice and, of course, Travis Kelce to operate underneath. Now, Hollywood Brown hurt his shoulder the other day, and he's going to be out for a little while. So, and I think, you know, it's, you know, like, where is he going to be in September? You know, but I think by the time, you know, you get to the middle of the season, he'll be back out there. And you know, the vision for it is actually, I think, really interesting. How, you know, the Chiefs sort of changed what they did post Tyreek Hill. That worked for a couple of years, and now they're sort of switching it up again and re-emphasizing speed in what they're doing. So it's just hard to bet against Mahomes, man. And I think that offense has a chance to be better than it was. And so the makeup of this team is going to be a little bit different. And I think the question then becomes, is like a little bit of improvement, incremental improvement on offense, enough to help, at least early on, cover for some of the transition they've got on defense?
All right. I am, you don't have to sell me on the Chiefs, but still a compelling case. I'm with you on that one.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm doubling down, Albert, on my number one overall pick. Well, number two overall pick, round one in the NFC, Detroit Lions.
I'm not
backing down on this. I have seen this team twice already this summer, and they just look awesome. I mean, they really, really do. I saw them against themselves. I saw them against the Giants. I'll just relay this one moment. I mentioned this on a video, and I wrote about it as well. But Jahmyr Gibbs is on the field running a passing route, just like a little leak out to the left side. Jameson Williams is on the field. Sam Laporte is on the field. Amon-Ra St. Brown's on the field. All these other stars are on the field. And the entire Giants defense just collapsed on to Jahmyr Gibbs because they were so afraid of what he was going to do if he got the ball in the open field. Lo and behold, they have another receiver that's just like running like a skinny post, and Jared Goff doesn't even have to throw cross body. Like the guy is right in front of his field of vision. It was like a 60-yard touchdown. You can't cover this team. They have the best offensive line in the NFL. They have the best defensive line possibly in the NFL. I'm just saying, like, you have Lee McNeil, you added DJ Reader to the fold. Like, this team is going to be nasty. You have Aiden Hutchinson already there. Salty doesn't even begin to describe it, Albert. I am all in on the Detroit Lions, and I think they are as clear a Super Bowl contender as I could make it outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you're telling me, and I'm not saying you in particular, but if fans are telling me, well, you know, they have a lot of problems in their secondary, I think their secondary's had a great training camp, A, and B. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Terry and Arnold and Ennis Reichskraw, I think, have a chance to be really good. And then you're adding Carlton Davis, who has experience, into that mix.
Yeah. And guess what, guys? It's the NFL. You got to score 30 points a game to win. So who
cares? Here's the other thing. And I think the makeup of the team is really interesting. And I talked to Campbell and to Goff about this when I was there. I think it's obviously a different deal when you have to manage expectations. And it's climbing the mountains different than staying up there. And, I think one thing that was really interesting that Dan brought up to me was how if he had to name the guys who have been their best workers in camp, he would name Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff. It's all these guys who just got paid, you know, and human nature would dictate that, like, maybe you take your foot off the pedal a little bit. Now, that doesn't apply as much to Goff because he's been paid before, right? Like, but, you know, like, that's something the teams always have their radar up for, is like, when we pay a guy, how is he going to react to that? And the fact that, like, they're still getting the most out of those guys, I think says something about the makeup of what they've brought into that building. And I think it shows up in the practice field too. Did I tell you the fight story yet?
No.
Okay, so the practice I was at, it was a heavy, heavy scrimmage practice, right? So teams will have these days where during camp where it'll just be like, go, you know? And so I happened to be in Detroit on a day where they were heavy 11-on-11, full pads. They're not like taking each other to the ground on every play, but it's as full contact as going to get in this day and age of training camp. And like, you've been at enough training camp practices to know, Connor, there are certain collisions where you're waiting for the guy to pop to his feet and you know there's going to be a fight, right? Like, you know what that looks like. And it's hard to describe it, but I think, like, you know, we both know what we're talking about here, right? Like, where there's just a collision that happens a certain way where it's like, ooh, and then you expect the guy to pop to his feet, and then 15 seconds later, the whole team is like in a scrum over there, right? I saw, I would say, 4 or 5 collisions like that at the Lions practice I was at. No fight. got up, pat each other on the butt, and go back to the huddle. And I mentioned that to Dan, and I said, it really looks like your team knows how to practice. And, he said, yeah, it's a big emphasis on us to take care of each other and to understand what this is and understand what we're trying to accomplish. And he just saw that focus there. And look, there are times when you should fight, right? Like there are times when you should fight, when there are cheap shots on the field, when there's bad intentions, whatever. Like when they went and practiced with the Giants, were you there the day that Malik Nabers cheap shotted? Was it Arnold or Kirby Joseph? Was that the day you were there?
Yes, I was there, and it wasn't a cheap shot. It was hilarious.
Okay, so
it's what you want your guys to be doing.
That's something where you probably should fight.
Like yeah.
When Malik Nabers does that, the Lions should fight Malik Nabers for that. Like that's having your teammates back. I just thought it was so interesting seeing how in situations where things get chippy and everyone's tired and it's hot and you're deep into camp, where the Lions just knew how to handle themselves. And I think it's a great indication of where they are as a team.
All right. Well, then I feel good about it, but I am leaving the door open for you, Albert.
Are we doing a snake draft here, by the way? Is that
I thought about it, but I'm not smart enough. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to do it? And then
why
give
don't we
me...
do snake draft? Because that's fair to you. Yeah, okay. Let's do snake draft.
Oh, baby. All right. Then, boy, I'm kind of calling game over here because I'm taking Albert... the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, so you just won the NFC, I think.
I think I got the NFC locked up.
Yeah, I think you just won the NFC.
Yeah. Again, I don't think there's anything that, I don't have to sell you guys on the defending NFC conference champions here. I will say that I do envision the Brandon Ayuk deal getting done in San Francisco, at least. You know, that's kind of my take on it. I don't think he's getting traded. I think they kind of brought him to the edge and were like, hey, would you
really want to go there?
Yeah. You want to go hang out with Drake May? No. Okay. All right. You know, come back here and you can play in the best offense in the NFL with like eight other really talented skill position players who are going to make your job easier. Or you can go over there. You know, your choice. Russell Wilson. Yeah. How does that sound?
Yeah.
You think ball's gonna get there on time? Good luck. But yeah, no, I'm very, very happy about this. Okay, so now we're going Albert.
Two of them.
Albert for two. All right. Yeah, Albert for two.
Number four, Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm.
I just look at that team and there is pressure on them to win now, right? So like this is a really, I think, well-conceived roster. Their biggest issue over the last few years, I think it's fair to say, has been on the offensive line. They think they've got a real one in Amarius Mims, which, interesting, like, side story here. The biggest knock against Mims was that he only had 8 college starts, right, at Georgia. So the Bengals scouts told the coaches, don't worry about that. Because the way Georgia practices, and people may have heard of Kirby Smart. He's got these like practices called Bloody Tuesday, right? Like where they really get after each other. And like the scouts basically said, and the scouts had been on the ground at some of these practices, said with the way Georgia practices and who he's going up against in that program in practice, he was getting game reps the whole time. And that's really translated over to the field. They're excited about where Mims is. I'd be surprised if he's not a starter for them. So, like, I think the offensive line's cleaned up. Joe Burrow had some real ups and downs in the spring, but it looks like he's through that. Now, of course, a lot of this hinges on his health. But that was a team that was, like, borderline, like, in the play, like, was right on the doorstep of making it into the playoffs last year without Burrow. So I just have a lot of belief in the quarterback. I have a lot of belief in the coaching staff. They lose Brian Callahan, and that's a blow, but they've had Dan Pitcher ready there. And, you know, they've got, you know, Lou Anarumo, who's one of the best in the sport, you know, calling the defense. They got to work out the Chase situation. They got to work out the Trey Hendrickson situation. But I would be surprised if, health permitting, I would be surprised if they're not at a baseline in the divisional round and probably back in the AFC title game.
All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, I like the Bengals. I had them, I think I had a Bengals Lions Super Bowl in my preseason predictions. I feel good about it. I mean, I need to see Joe Burrow there. I need to see him for 17 games. But I know that, like, he's been the toughest, most resilient, best in-game, kind of that natural quarterback.
He's the natural descendant of Brady. And I'm not saying he is Brady, but I think he's like the, like, stylistically, and just as far as what the strengths of Brady were, like, I think he's the guy who's most analogous to Brady.
I think he's Brady with, again, like, we're talking about Brady, like, he's got, like, Brady components with slightly better and cleaner, not cleaner, cleaner's not the right word. I think he's more rugged in the pocket than Brady. Like, he's got, like, a little twinge of Roethlisberger in there, too, or something. You know, like, good footwork to kind of navigate.
So he's a better Brady?
He's better than Tony. Market. Okay.
So I guess now I gotta take another. I gotta go NFC, right? Because I got two AFC. So with the fifth pick, why don't you give me the Rams?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I was so impressed with what I saw from them last year. To do what they did. With $75 million in dead money in what was very clearly a reset year, and to lean on rookies the way that they did, like Puka Nacua, like Kobe Turner, like Byron Young, and then to have more young guys now that they feel good about in Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and Blake Corum, and have Stafford, who looked, I mean, just, when I was at camp with him, he looked, and just talking to him, he seems content. He seems happy. He seems healthy. He's been through a lot from an injury standpoint the last couple of years. I just think the Rams make the playoffs, and I think they're a tough out when they get there.
I agree.
Not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I just, that's a team I see, like, if someone's going to upset the Niners, and I think the Lions and Niners are probably the top two seeds. It, like, if someone's going to upset those one of those two teams, like, earlier in the playoffs, maybe it's the Rams that do it.
So I am actually really happy that you did that. I feel like I'm sitting pretty here. So okay. I think
they give you a little opening with the AFC there.
Little opening with the AFC, but I'm hitting it down the, like, these are down the fairway picks. Okay. Yep. I'm not going wild here. And the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Bills of Buffalo. Okay,
and the Bills of Buffalo.
Taking the Bills of Buffalo, and the reason I'm doing that is because
the Orchard Park Bills of Buffalo.
The Orchard Park Bills of Buffalo, and the reason that I'm doing that is because I think that regardless of the ceiling for the Bills is obviously to win the AFC East, right?
Yep.
But I think that the floor is probably to finish second in the AFC East, and I don't see there not being room for them in the playoffs, right? Yeah. I think that's as safe now. Now, you know,
Parking at the middle of the fairway.
That's parking in the middle of the fairway, but I don't know who's going to take the Jets. And now I'm freaking out about it a little bit, to be honest with you. The Jets are like that sleeper pick that you have, and you're hoping he's going to last until the eighth round, but you're staring at the guy across the room.
And you're looking at the roster, and you're like, God, they could be really, really good.
I mean, the Jets could legitimately make the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Or they could finish the season with 5 wins.
Which is sort of like last year, right?
Well, I will say this, right? Last year they won 7 games. They should have beaten the Chiefs. The officiating was horrendous in that game. They beat the Eagles when the Eagles were rolling and really good.
Which, for all the circus stuff, like, is like real accomplishment.
Yes. I mean, the Jets winning 7 games last year with all of that going on was ridiculous. So I'm being a little, you know, I'm being a little tongue in cheek here when I say that they could bottom out and win 5 games. I don't think that's true. I think the floor for this team is like eight wins.
Okay. So you got the Bills 6th then.
So I have the Bills.
I agree. I think the ideal scenario for Buffalo is with all the changes with, you know, Diggs and Mitch Morse and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White gone, is that, like, by November, you see them turning the corner with some of the young guys on their team, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I can see that.
And then my other my other selection here. Actually, you know what? I think my sleeper team can go another round. I'm going to take the Jets now. Give me the Jets now. Because, you know, like, this is like Anthony Richards.
By
the
way, just new rule. Let's make it so we do have to take one team from every division, too. So at the end, like, you know what I mean? And I'll keep you updated on what divisions we haven't selected. But somebody has to make the playoffs in every division. So we want this to look like a real bracket, right?
Fair. Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. I mean, I've seen the Jets a couple times already this summer. I mean, when Aaron Rodgers is on the field and not in a raincoat because it's raining, you know, or in Egypt because he's curious, this team is really good, right? Now, there are some, you know, they've had some sloppy practices. There is still all this stuff that we're not talking about how, you know, we had like 9 practices with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson last year and then 4 plays in a game. It still does take him a long time to get on the same page with people, you know, like that didn't end, you know, I mean, Davante Adams isn't here yet. But, you know, all that in mind, I do think the Jets are like, you know, I'm just loading up on this because I do feel like regardless, they're going to be in the postseason some way, shape or form. And my sneaky take is that, Albert, I think Tyrod Taylor could do it too. I think Tyrod Taylor could bring this team to the playoffs.
So you think they're good enough, like where like you get them, you take them down a notch at quarterback and they're still good enough to make it, is what you're saying, right?
And I don't, and I would be curious, boy, I'm going to get myself in like a, not a lot of trouble.
I think I know where you might be going here and I might caution you to tap the brakes.
Tap the brakes? Okay. But I'm talking about like Aaron Rodgers at like 40 and then like, what if you have like, a Joe Flacco-esque run out of Tyrod, and he's healthy, and like, you know, I don't know, for those of you at home, I'm like vaguely doing my 538 pole hands, where I'm like, you know, kind of like Tyrod Taylor to the moon. I'm not saying that Tyrod Taylor is better than Aaron Rodgers, Albert, but like peak heater Tyrod, like Joe Flacco-style heater Tyrod Taylor versus grumpy, weathered, midseason Aaron Rodgers. And your offense changes a little bit. He can run with the ball. He can pick up first downs.
You're really talking yourself into this.
Come on, baby. Let's do it. I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is bad. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not saying he's bad.
Here's the reality, though, is we're all going to obsess over what happens with Aaron and everything else. Where the season might hinge is on the offensive line.
Well, yeah, you have 2 33-year-old offensive tackles. Yes.
Right. It's and, a big deal. Like, I think they think really highly of Olufoshinu, their first-round pick, who was the 11th overall pick out of Penn State.
But they don't want to play him at guard, I don't think.
They don't. They want to train him at tackle, right? And I think they're fine at guard. They signed John Simpson. They have Oliveira Tucker. Like, so they're fine there. You know, I don't think it's unfair to say, like, Olufoshinu is probably going to play important snaps. So based on the age and the injury history of the guys at tackle, I think it's a good bet that Olufoshinu plays important snaps somewhere this season.
Okay, so. I'm good with that.
Okay, I am too.
I'm good if Tyrod Taylor's playing important snaps this season, so clearly I'm on board.
You clearly are. Okay.
Let's go.
All right, so I have the 8th pick now. I'm going to take the Houston Texans.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, it's just like, so full disclosure, I watched one play of the Texans game the other night, and it was on Twitter, okay? So, like, it's not like I have this, like, great context from, and I haven't been to Texans camp yet. But, like, what I saw, like seeing CJ make that throw to Tank Dell, it's just a reminder how, even at his age, he's making things that are really difficult look easy. And I don't know that people have enough appreciation for it. Like, I said that on social media, and I got a bunch of responses. That's not that difficult to throw. He, like, timed it up before Tank Dell broke and put it, like, down the teeth of a zone, like, between two defenders. And it looked easy because it looked like Dell was relatively open. But it's like one of those things that was like, that's some high level shit. You know what I mean? Like, and he's doing it in his second year. And here's what I really like about what the Texans did this offseason. And I think this is This is something, this is a rule in free agency that I always try to follow. So this is back when I was at NFL Network, and I think it was Dom, actually. Dom Bonvasuto is one of our editors there, and he asked me to do a story, and Dom also worked with both me and Connor at SI, and Dom asked me to do a story on like, hey, could you give me something on like things to, like rules of free agency for teams, right? And so one of the rules was what I wound up calling like the Alvin Harper principle. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's when a team takes somebody else's number two, receiver, corner, pass rusher, and projects him to be a number one.
Yes.
Right? Like a lot of times that does not work. So that the reason you call it Alvin Harper, for people who are too young to understand what I'm saying here, is Alvin Harper was a fantastic receiver for the 90s Cowboys. And then he became a free agent, went to Tampa, and was like sort of never heard from again. And like a huge part of it was like, while he was in Dallas, he was playing with Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Jay Novacek. And so like the looks he was seeing were way different than what he would see in Tampa. And that's the difference when you're going from being somebody's number two or number three to their number one. What I love about what the Texans did is the guys they brought in were number ones. Danielle Hunter was the number one pass rusher in Minnesota for a decade. Stephon Diggs has always been the number one wherever he's gone, Buffalo, Minnesota. So you're not bringing in guys who are complementary pieces. You're bringing in guys who've been the number one, who've been the focal point of opponents.
Yeah.
And you're putting Stephon Diggs in a receiver group with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. You're putting Danielle Hunter with a pass rush group that has Will Anderson. And I think there's something very real to that. You know, like where it's like you're not bringing in somebody else's complimentary piece and asking them to level up. You're asking a guy who's already on that higher level to add to what you already have.
Yeah.
So that's a nuance to what the Texans did that I really thought was cool, and why I think they've got a chance to be even better this year than they were last year.
I like that. I'm getting a little nervous here, and I'm really hoping that you're not going to take my sleeper team next. I'm already getting like the fantasy, you know, like that.
Yeah, the fantasy stress where there's that guy and you're just waiting to see, you're like four picks away.
Where would you have taken the Jets? Now?
I think I might have taken, I might have taken them right around then. It would have been tough to pick between the Texans and the Jets there.
Okay. All right. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Chargers.
Oh!
Is that your sleeper?
No! I think I just won. Yes!
So I'm like closing out.
Yeah!
I think the Chargers are going to find a way, man.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think they're going to find a way.
I really don't think
the Herbert thing scares me a little. I'm not going to lie. I think they're going to find a way.
Ugh.
I think they get in. I love like that they added Joe Alt to that offensive line. I think like they've got a pretty competent group of receivers for having just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, where you're able to come back. And, you know, I think Josh Palmer is a... Josh Palmer is a reliable guy you're bringing back, who's been productive for you. Quentin Johnson.
This is worse than
upside.
Me talking myself into Tyrod Taylor.
You think so?
A little bit.
I mean, when has Jim Harbaugh ever had a team that wasn't at least good? Like, I think this is a safer pick than you're making it out to be.
It's tough, right? Because messing with the Chargers social media team is never a good idea.
Yeah, but they're very creative.
They could ruin my life. It, you know, this is like daring a hacker to like, this is like reading your personal information to a hacker. But I don't think that team's making the playoffs. I don't.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. But I almost closed out the AFC. There's just one AFC pick left, and that one's wide open. So you can pick whoever you want in the AFC, and then we have four playoff teams to get to in the NFC, which I think is like the balance of power in the NFL right now.
Sure.
Is your surprise pick the Patriots?
No. Thank God. Thank God.
I mean, you could get yourself a few radio appearances if you do pick them.
I know. I mean, it was good for the brand, the Orr brand. Yeah. Listen, folks, the Philadelphia Eagles are still on the board.
Oh, there it is. All right. Wow, like a year after the Super Bowl and they're a sleeper.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Oh, yeah, baby. Come on. This team always...
I don't know if that's a sleeper.
Always finds a way. Like, the Super Bowl with Doug Peterson, and then it seems like they're lost in the woods, and it's like 2 years off, and then, oh, here they are. They're back with a different guy, and, you know, this is a good team. They have a good owner. They have a good GM. Vic yep. Fangio's back. Yes. I am really, boy, my
There's a lot of moving parts there, though, don't you think?
Yes, but I just think that this team is a steamroller that stops for nothing. Like, if Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni aren't working out, get rid of them. Get Bill Belichick in here. I don't care. Like, this thing is going to just keep rolling, you know? They never stop and dwell on the mistakes.
So,
I feel really good about this.
Again, like, to me, like, this is comes down to, like, the decidedly not sexy things to talk about. Like, how is Cam Jurgens, like, look at center, right? Like, how do Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis come along at defensive tackle? You know, because you're losing guys yes. who've been bedrocks for you, and Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey. So there are those questions that I think, because to me, like, the Eagles, the reason the Eagles have been so consistently good is because they've been so consistently dominant on the lines of scrimmage.
Right.
And teams like that are going to be in every game. And so, yeah, they've gotten better in the secondary, right? Like, I do think, like, being able to go and get Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in the draft really helps them on the back end. And, like, they at least have some more depth, some more options in the secondary than versus where they've been. And obviously a receiver, you come back with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, and you've got Saquon Barkley. So there's reason to be excited about all that stuff, but I still think a lot of this comes down to where the foundation of the team's always been, and having lost a couple of really important pieces there, I think that's, you know, like, okay, like, let's see how you replace those guys.
So I'll put it to you this way.
But they've invested in it. There's no question. That's a credit to them. They've invested in making sure they were ready for it, you know?
If you have to bet on one offensive line and being good in that division, what team are you betting on?
The Eagles.
If you have to bet on one defensive line in that division. Eagles. Well, defensive line's a little different, right? Giants defensive line is going to be excellent. Yep. Cowboys defensive line is going to be good. But if you had to bet on one offensive line in that division.
I mean, I think one thing I would say is I think Bryce Huff's going to be a really good free agent. Like, I think that's going to wind up looking like a bargain.
Which team has the most white cornerbacks, Albert?
The Broncos do, don't they? No.
I think it's the Eagles. Well,
so they have Cooper DeJean, but is he getting converted to safety? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, if you could. Yeah, I don't know. That was just.
Well, because then you got Riley Moss with the Broncos, right? Sure. Like, and they both went to Iowa. And then apparently Iowa now has another white corner.
It's a factory, baby.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, working in inefficiency, like, you know, we were talking about analytics earlier in the show, that's working in an inefficiency, right? long live Jason Sehorn. I'm good buddies with, good buddy of mine, who I was actually in college with. I was a senior when he was a freshman, Dustin Fox, who wound up being a captain at Ohio State, right? I think you know Dustin, right?
Yes.
Right, Connor? So Dustin was a great corner at Ohio State, played corner for the Vikings and the Bills, injury short-circuited his career. But I can tell you this, and love you, Dustin, nothing made him more angry than how at every level of football, everyone projected him to safety. Like, no matter what, like, when he played corner in high school, didn't play safety, they projected him to safety in college. Didn't play safety in college, played corner, they projected him to safety. So Cooper DeJean probably comes into the NFL with a little chip on his shoulder, because there were a lot of people that were projecting him to safety.
Poor Dustin. They just don't. People just don't understand. Yeah. All right, I'm going to bring this thing home with a victory, and then I still have another pick after this, which is nuts. But we do have to. So nobody's picked in the NFC South yet.
So we need an NFC South champion. I think other than that,
are we good?
We have one wild card team left. So the rest of the board is open in the AFC, and then the other picks are going to be NFC picks. But the one caveat here is that somebody's got to pick an NFC South team.
All right, so I am going to take the Falcons of Atlanta.
Wow, more disrespect for the our friends in Tampa.
I think
I'm gonna have to let them know.
I mean, I'm pretty confident in their ability to find out at this point, yeah. given all that's transpired here. So God, right now I got the Bills, the Jets, the Lions, the Niners, the Eagles, and the Falcons. I mean, I don't know. Talk about blind confidence, but I am flying high right now. Yes, you got the Chiefs, but
why the Falcons?
You got to pick.
I think I know why, but like,
well, if we're moneyballing this thing, right? You get 6 points if your team makes the divisional round, right?
Yep.
And I do think that they're probably like, I mean, they have the best offensive line in that division. They have the best quarterback in that division.
The defense, I worry about the pass rush would be what I would be worried about with them.
Yeah. But you worry about that with, are the Saints still scaring you as a pass rushing unit? Or
yeah, the Saints are kind of in that position where they're still relying on, I mean, a lot of older guys to hold the rope. So, you know, it's guys like, you know, obviously Cam Jordan and Marshawn Lattimore, who've been fantastic players for them. Alvin Kamara is getting up there a little bit just from a mileage standpoint, you know, at that position. So you are counting on like still a handful of players that have been around for a long time, but great, great players for them holding the rope. So Atlanta would be, I mean, I love their staff too. Like that helps.
And it's new-ish, right? You don't know. I mean, listen, you know, Chase Young is still good. Chase Young is going to be great for this team.
I think Chase Young might have a big year in him. I mean, I don't know. Like I know that neck situation was pretty scary, and like from what I understand, like the Saints did their homework on it and kind of found that he had that was holding him back in ways that he didn't really let on last year, and that they feel like they've got a motivated version of him now. Again, like, can he get back? He's had, you know, he had a catastrophic knee injury too in Washington. So can he get back to like what he was his rookie year? I don't know. When it looked like he was going to be like one of the five best pass rushers in football for the next 10 years. But I think they get a pretty good version of him. That'd be my guess.
Carl Granderson, Wyoming Cowboy, another solid player in that defensive line. But yeah, I figured I'd take a swing at some team in that division is going to win enough games to get up there. You know what I mean? And so I like just taking my stab at it now. Like if someone came up to you and was like, Albert, I get to take your house and your car, or you get to correctly predict which team wins the NFC South, who are you taking?
Tampa.
What?
Yeah. And you think I'm only saying that to like screw you with them? I'm not. But
I'm good with Tampa. I've paid my dues. All right.
I think
we're okay.
Here's my thing is
and your car are on the line.
I think more highly of Baker Mayfield than most people. Like I
don't
think
make Baker this a Mayfield, Baker thing. I love Baker. Don't make this a Baker thing.
I think they have one of the best tackles in football in Tristan Wirfs. I think they've done a good job developing linemen. I think on defense, you know, you look at what they've got. They've still got in their front seven, and with Todd Bowles as the coordinator, they can make it work. I think they made a really good offensive coordinator hire in bringing in Liam Cohen. I like a lot about what they've got there. Now, again, like I think some of the questions are similar to what you have in New Orleans, where in spots they are still relying on some older players that have some mileage. But, I mean, overall, I think it's one of those teams where you look across the board and there aren't a ton of holes. Corner's a big question. Wow, you got a bleep-eating grin on your face.
You're very confident. Your house and your car are on the line. The Tahoe.
Yeah.
Someone's going to take it. Someone's coming to your house in like a black suit, and you're going to be like, they're not going to be able to take it. They don't have the keys. They have the keys.
Yeah.
They just take it. And yep. I found out yesterday this is random, but that you can actually physically pick up a house and move it. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that actually...
Like, just pick it up
so
and move
where
it.
Where we go on vacation, so in Nantucket, that's actually a big thing now because of erosion, because of beach erosion.
So they're just...
So people who have the means to do it, which is people down there in a lot of cases, basically the shifting of the ocean has caused for people's properties to get destroyed. And so, like, there is a way to, and I have no idea how it works, but there is a way to pick your house up and put it on a truck and move it.
So
again, I have no idea how that's possible.
And like, and you're betting on the Buccaneers preventing that from happening. I like it. All right. Okay. This is fun.
I don't know how that's a wild take. They've been in the playoffs the last 4 years. I mean, you look at the other teams in that division. Atlanta has not been in the playoffs since before COVID. Carolina has not been in the playoffs since before COVID. New Orleans lost made the playoffs when Breeze was the quarterback.
Can I just say that you handled this really well? Because not only did you increased your position with the Bucs, which is a strong move, but then what you did was you put your tent pole stake down on Baker Mayfield, which, like, I feel like I have been one of the highest
Baker guy.
I've been the Baker guy for years, but now you've sort of pivoted and you've blocked me out of my own movement, which it sounds like something I would do. I'm extraordinarily impressed by you. I really am.
Respect.
Yes.
Respect.
Game recognizes game. All right. We both have one more pick left.
No, I have two.
Oh, you have two. Okay.
I have two, I believe. Yeah. Cause that's 12, 13, 14, right?
Yes.
So we're at 11
yes.
right now.
You have two more.
Okay. So right now, there's one AFC pick left, and I'm looking at it, and I see the Dolphins made the playoffs last year. I'm a little worried about their defense. I see Pittsburgh, steady, 9 wins every year. I'm just not sure with where they're at quarterback and some of the moving parts they'll have on the offensive line. You have Jacksonville, who could bounce back. You have Indianapolis, who I really have, like, a belief in Shane Steichen. You have Denver, which I don't think you can, like, I don't think their roster is great right now, but, like, I think they'll play better this year than they did last year. You have Cleveland, who won with, like, 5 different quarterbacks. So this is a deep AFC field, and I have to take the Ravens here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I look at it, and you know what worries me? Is that you're swapping out 3 offensive linemen and you're losing Morgan Moses, John Simpson, and Kevin Zeitler. And so 3/5 of your offensive line is gone. You have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, who's had some injury issues. And then you have Tyler Linderbaum, who's, like, probably the best center in football.
Right.
So, like, I look at the whole of it, and it's that worries me a bunch because I think that's an area where it's tough to have a lot of transition. That said, they have done such a good job of developing players at those positions and having guys ready to go at those positions. And I just think, like, that could cause some problems early on, but I envision a scenario, like, by the time we get to, I'll do the Peter King thing and pick a random fall holiday by Veterans Day. by Veterans Day, I think they'll have that sorted out and they'll find their way into the playoffs. Like, they're a team where I could see it being like, 3-5 and oh, what's wrong with them? And then they end up like 11-6. You know what I mean? Or 10-7.
Okay, I like that. That's safe. Is your last pick the Bucks?
That's a middle of the fairway.
That's a middle of the fairway pick. Yeah.
God, that is so tempting just to screw with
you. I was gonna say, if
but it can't be. It's the Packers.
Ah, okay.
It's the Packers.
Nicely done.
Okay, so I considered the Bucks there. It's the Packers. I don't know. Again, like, I don't want to be a victim of recency bias here, but just being around Jordan Love in Green Bay, seeing the vibe on that team, seeing how they finished last year, that young receiver group that is now growing up with Jordan Love, which the way they've sequenced that, whether it was intentional or not, is really cool, where you've got, you know, Watson and Wicks and Dobbs and Jaden Reed all sort of coming up with Jordan Love. In the offensive line, you know, you hope Walker holds up at left tackle. You know, what are you getting from Morgan as a first-round rookie playing guard right as for right now? But I think the offense will be good, and I think the offense will build on what they had last year. And defensively, I think Jeff Hafley, as their new defensive coordinator, is going to unleash some of the guys up front to play more aggressively, to get in the backfield more. I think the Packers are going to be hard to play against defensively this year because of Hafley. So I wouldn't be stunned if they challenge Detroit in the NFC South, in the NFC North. Sorry, I almost said NFC Central, which now that's, again, like that's another area where I guess I'm like my dad calling the Colts Baltimore. But yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if the Packers mounted a challenge to the Lions. And I think very highly of the Lions in the NFC North. And I do think that they'll be in the playoffs.
All right. I have one pick left. It's got to be an NFC team. But for me, it's Cowboys or it is Cowboys, Saints, or Buccaneers. I think that's what it comes down to. I can't imagine Jerry Jones allowing this to get much worse. Can you?
No.
Like,
I mean, I one thing I've been around the Cowboys. I was on that beat. One thing I have learned about them is for all of the circus elements and all of the noise, they are generally a pretty well-run organization and generally an organization that does take care of their own. Take that for what it's worth, but that's my opinion on it.
So I think that I'm taking the Cowboys because I think that taking another team from the AFC or the NFC South eliminates my possibility of having more teams go deeper into the postseason. Does that make sense? Like we get more points.
Sorry, I'm building our bracket.
Okay. We get more points for the better the team does, right? And even if I don't like what the Cowboys are doing now, it would be foolish for me to let that cloud my judgment and say that the Cowboys have a better chance of making it further into the playoffs than any team in the NFC South. Do you agree with that?
Yes, okay. Because they're battle-tested, because they've been there. Yes, and Dax obviously got pelts on the wall. They've advanced in the playoffs before. Yes, I think that's fair.
I don't see any way I'm losing this. I'm going to share you on this. Okay, I made the doc.
Okay.
And then when the season ends, we'll have a fun little. I'm going to share Shelby.
Do you want to hear our bracket now?
Yeah,
I have constructed our bracket.
Okay.
So for Wild Card Weekend, remember it's not Super Wild Card Weekend; it's regular Wild Card Weekend. As much as I like some of the matchups in the AFC, we will have the Ravens at the Bengals in round one.
Nice.
We'll have the Chargers at the Bills. So Jim Harbaugh going up to Orchard Park, New York. And then this is an awesome matchup for the first round. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Jets at Texans.
Ooh.
How good is that?
That's fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jets beat them handily last year. Do you remember that? They beat them 30-6 last year.
Yep. So the Chiefs have the bye, of course. In the NFC, the Lions have the bye. First round. Classic matchup, Cowboys at Niners in the first round. We got the Packers at the Eagles.
Like that.
And we got the Rams at the Falcons. So Raheem Morris. I mean, I guess we can call it a revenge game. I don't know that he really needs revenge against the Rams, but.
How could you have let me go to this better opportunity? I'm going to take you out.
I've had enough of you.
I've had enough of you, team that's treated me really well and given me given me an incredible profile boost.
Screw you, Sean McVay, for bringing me in and bringing me in to replace Brandon Staley and win a Super Bowl.
Oh man, that was fun, Albert.
That was good. That was good. As far as like gimmick shows go, I think that was a good one because we had good discussion on each of the teams. I like it.
And we're not just telling you guys what you want to hear, which is that, yeah, sure, your team's going to make the playoffs.
And there's a payoff at the end of the season.
Yeah. This is good because you're kind of riding high still off of the mock draft championship, which you've been, you know, pretty handily winning here for pretty much ever since Jenny got you 1 year. I think in like
Jenny did get, I think that was the first year, wasn't
2017 or 2018, and then it's been pretty much all Breer all the time since.
Didn't
then.
We have to like? I think back then, didn't we get, it was like a bottle of wine or something? Wasn't that what it was at the beginning?
Rosé.
Like
that. Yeah, Jenny got a bottle of rosé for that. Yeah.
Rosé. Yep. So just to kind of go through this too, some of the teams we left out, right? Dolphins.
Bucks.
I'm going to go notable teams we left out. Dolphins, Steelers, Browns, Jaguars, Colts. I do think a lot of the Colts. Then in the NFC, I would say the Giants are a notable omission, right? Minnesota's retooling some. I guess you could call them a notable omission. The Buccaneers definitely are one, right, Connor?
Shut up.
So it's easier in the NFC. I mean, you could say Seattle. They were in the playoffs a couple of years ago. I think they've got a pretty good roster, but new coaching staff. So, but you can see, like, when you do that part of it too, like how – like there's a couple there with in the AFC where you're like, God, you know, I don't know, they might make it. You know what I mean? So you can see the depth in the AFC really show up when you look at the teams that we left out. Like I think the Colts. Put it this way, I'm going to pick the Texans to win the AFC South. I wouldn't be like completely floored if the Colts won it.
No, I'm picking the Colts to win the AFC South. But I've been.
Are you?
Yes, I've been. Okay. I have been.
Do you have the Texans in the playoffs?
I don't know, man. Like, that's a crowded. It's a crowded field.
So that's a no.
It's a crowded field. I don't know. I'm actually doing my alt 272 today. So, okay. I will get back.
I'm sure that exercise is a blast.
Yeah, we're gonna start it today. It takes all week, but
I know Jonathan did that before you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what I've always wondered about that is like the science behind picking the upsets.
Yeah. For me, it's like, because that's what always happens, right? Is fans come in and they're like, well, how could you say that they're going to lose to this? Dude, the Cowboys lost to the Cardinals last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? After like thrashing a couple of teams. The Jets with Zach Wilson beat the Houston Texans 30-6, like clubbed the Texans last year. There's some games where like some guy's sick, someone gets food poisoning, and so I'm not saying that it's going to be random, but you have to.
But that's always been the most interesting one to me. It's like how you do
those.
It. It's how you do it. You know what I mean? Because it's like obviously when you pick it, it's going to look stupid,
right?
You know what I mean? Like obviously when you pick it, it's like how dare you have the Cardinals upset the Niners
right.
in November? You know what I mean? But those things do happen, and you're trying to forecast them,
right? And so what you do is you kind of count how many there were last year and then the year before and the year before. And then you try to say, okay, I got to build in like 13 just absolutely silly things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
What is the number? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head. I'd have to look
like
it up.
How many stupid, like that makes no sense. Like if I told you at the beginning of the year, this was going to happen, you would have like slapped me on the side of my head.
I mean, there's got to be quite a few, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I would think so.
It's
the beauty of the NFL, Connor.
I mean, what we
any
had
given Sunday.
Let's see. And just in terms of like point spreads, what the Raiders beat the Chiefs last year. That was a silly one, right?
Yeah.
The Bengals beat the Jaguars, and they were 10-point dogs. Cardinals beat the Cowboys. Cardinals beat the Eagles with a 12-point spread. The Titans beat the Dolphins with a 13.5 game spread. I mean, there was quite a few, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. You just build it in, right?
I mean, to me, like, that was like the, that was the strength of the Patriots for all those years. That rarely happened to them.
I know. That's why I picked them to win the division.
Rarely happened. That was how they won 12, 13 games every single year was because that didn't happen to them.
Yeah.
It happens to everybody. Like, they're the one team that most consistently avoided the just ridiculous out of nowhere upset. In fact, it was weird when it started to happen to them because there was like that game in Miami. The Hail Mary game, or the not the Hail Mary, it was like the kickoff. Was it kickoff return?
Punt return?
Was it a punt
kickoff return?
Where Gronk was like,
oh, the kickoff return. Yes.
Yeah. Where Gronk was like the last line of defense and flailed at like whoever it was.
They have a cool name for that. Down there.
It's not the miracle in Miami.
Is it?
Is it? No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the best name for one of those of all time, I think, has to be Kick Six, right?
Kick Six is.
Because Kick Six is like more creative than like Music City Miracle is just like putting two M's together. You know what I mean? Kick Six is actually like creative.
Syracuse UConn, the six overtime Big East championship was called Six in the City.
I like that. That's really good. It's
pretty good. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me see what I can pull up here. Hold on. I'm gonna see if we can get our listeners an answer. Miracle in Miami. I feel like that was the same. That's the same name as the Doug Flutie throw, isn't it? It came up as. Oh no! So Miracle in Miami is the kick return. The Miami Miracle is the Flutie Hail Mary.
Okay.
So there you go,
dude. We're just all about it. All the facts today. We're really doing some service journalism today. Good for us. All right. Well, hope you guys don't mind knowing what's going to happen in the future now. But Albert and I will be back next week. We got Gilberto and Matt coming up. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. And we'll see you next Monday, a week closer to the start of the NFL season. Man, I got to get into shape. What do you think? Let's do it, Albert.
Not in the best shape of your life?
Not in the best shape of my life. No, I was...
Neither am I.
I like the... not in the best shape of my life, and I like the other training camp thing where I say, you guys have no idea how hurt I was last year. So that's one of my favorite ones, too. So that's the card I'm playing. You guys have no idea.
I was fighting through like a bad knee last season.
Yeah.
Just so you know. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. I had to wear this... My kids' football practices last year for a few weeks. I had to wear this knee brace that had hinges on it. It was like a sleeve with the hinges inside of it that basically made me look like a 75-year-old guy who has to wear one to go out for walks in the morning. Yeah. Age is undefeated, Connor. Father Time has never lost.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.